You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Richard Boxall.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as China's Ashen Wu wins the Lioness Open powered by Sport Ilford Cashback Card, clinching a one-shot victory with what surely must have been a nervy putt on the 72nd hole. Right?
No, we just keep focus my mind, and then I talk to my caddie, yeah, no problem, that's easy lie, so just put in the hole.
We'll hear more from Ashen Wu in a few minutes' time, and we'll also look ahead to the US Open at Oakmont Country Club, a course which BMW PGA champion Chris Wood knows will test the very best.
I've only heard things that are just, you know, enough to sort of wake you up in the night, really. Just the brute of a golf course.
So stay with us as we review the action in Austria at the Lioness Open and preview the year's second major. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Richard Boxall. Boxy, how are you?
I'm not too bad, although I was doing an impersonation of a taxi driver yesterday.
But obviously kept up to date with what was happening in Austria, and a win for Ashen Wu.
Yes, I did. I watched him hold that little three-footer on the last, but all the commentators were quite happy there, that one, and I bet they were thinking, oh, there's a good chance this might be a playoff. But, you know, it's great. It's his second win, and there's a lot of players now. Ever since we started these co-sanctioned events, you know, to start with, the Chinese weren't sort of competing, really, but we're now, as time has moved on, and we've got a little bit further, it's amazing how many good players are coming out of the Far East and proving here with Ashen Wu with his second win. Volvo China Open was the other one.
Yes, it was. It's his first win on European fairways. Do you think the fact that he'd won previously and indeed had won in Japan, that he had the edge on a number of players that hadn't won on the European Tour before?
Listen, if you win, a win's a win. And to get it over the line, as I say so many times, makes a massive difference. You look at Tongchai Jaidi, who he'd won, I think he's won seven now, but he'd won four at the Far East. And people were saying, oh, he can win there, but he can't win anywhere else. So he proved that very wrong. He's won the Porsche, he's won in Sweden. He won down in Wales, I think was the other one. That was good memory, wasn't it?
It was. Excellent.
Just plowed that one out from somewhere. So does he have an edge? I think if you've won, you've always got an edge.
He didn't have it all his own way, and he did make mistakes as well. He started the day one shot behind the overnight leader, who was Xander Lombard, the 21-year-old South African, who's done well this season because has been in the mix previously out in South Africa and in Australia. But when Wu took the lead, suddenly the double bogeys and a bogey began to appear on his card. And at that stage, you think potentially it's up for grabs for somebody else.
It was, yeah. But it's amazing, isn't it? When the pressure really gets on, he did hold some excellent putts, you know, when it really mattered. And when you're going to win, that's what you do. You hold the putt. It just seems to happen at the right time, you know?
Yeah, birdie at 13 for Wu, putting back into a share of the lead before another gain two holes later saw him lead on his own. There were challenges. We saw Richard McAvoy, of course, get to the top of the leaderboard. He didn't do that much wrong during the final round, Richard, but unfortunately you felt that he never really got the momentum going of knocking in birdie after birdie.
No, and he dropped a shot on the last as well, didn't he, which didn't help. That's always quite expensive, to say the least. Finished on minus 11, so two behind. So as it happened in the end, that drop shot didn't stop him from getting into a playoff, but obviously cost him a few quid. He went on and won 62,500 euros, which is something that is pretty needed for Richard. I mean, he was struggling a little bit, and he's got up to 109th on the Race to Dubai now. So, you know, hasn't quite got his card yet, but he's not too far away.
Well, the late challenge came from Otegi, who fired a birdie at the 16th to join Wu at the top of the pile. But unfortunately for the Spaniard, he did drop shots later and was unable to get to the eventual winner. A winner we can hear from now, a two-time winner now on the European Tour, Ashen Wu.
Very, very happy right now. Very exciting. So every player has played really good today. And the score is very close. But I played very good today and my mind is keep very well today too. And the weather is not so good today, but it's not affecting to me, so it's a great week this week.
It was a very tough battle, a double bogey, then a bogey. Everybody was coming together.
Yeah, exactly. So the number 10 and number 11, I just played a two bad shot, you know. So it started matter for me, but I guess still keep working and do my best to play and keep make a birdie.
A short putt on 18, but you must have been very nervous standing over it.
No, we just keep focus my mind, and then I talk to my caddie, yeah, no problem, that's easy lie, so let's just put in the hole.
Mark Tompkins with the questions there. You mentioned Ashin Wu's putting, Boxy. Obviously, he's confident with a flat stick, and he only used it 24 times during the final round. That's impressive.
It is, yeah. I mean, you know, if you are going to win events, you've got to... There's a line that pros look at, and, you know, you've got to be lower than 30 putts.
And he averaged over 300 yards off the tee. When you can drive it a long way, when you can putt as well, it's a good makeup, isn't it, for your game?
It is. It's amazing how far they hit it now. 301 yards. I mean, that used to be sort of just a little testy little par four in my day. Dan.
What do you average at the moment, Boxy?
What do I average? I don't average a great deal at the moment because I actually played golf last week. A friend of mine asked me to go and I haven't played golf properly for 17 years, right? And I went out on the course, driving the ball was like, it was like riding a bike. You never forget how to ride a bike, you just forget how to do the wheelies. On the greens, I can honestly say I was pathetic. Pathetic, okay? And I can honestly again say I now understand how amateurs feel. Because I felt like, no disrespect to any 20 handicapper out there, but I felt like a 20 handicapper. I had no idea. And I used to pay the mortgage with it, for crying out loud.
Well, Ashin Wu paid more than the mortgage off, you would have thought, with his latest win. The first Chinese player to record multiple European Tour victories and the first to win a European Tour event on European soil. It's the first time that two different Chinese players have won in the same European Tour season, with Li Haotong winning the 2016 Volvo China Open. And he moves to 54th in the Race to Dubai and 127th in the official world golf ranking from 222nd. Now, let's talk about the other players. First up, Adrian Otegi, who was second. The Spaniard was satisfied with his Sunday scorecard.
Yeah, it was a great round, yeah. I've been fighting all the 18 holes, which is the most important for me. And then just drop a shot on 17, a bit shame. I'm happy of how I fighted.
You came second in the end, but that's your best performance on the European Tour, so a lot of positives to take out of this week.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I've been playing well the last week, so I'm happy with that good result.
We've seen him on leaderboards over the course of this season, never getting to the dizzy heights of second. And you'd have to say that as a young Spaniard, there'll be plenty of eyes watching his progress, but he seems to be going in the right way.
He's definitely going the right way. With the commentary that I've been doing recently, I've certainly had to, not on the first 2 days, because he's not really what you'd call in a featured group. Not yet, he's not. But over certainly on the Saturday and the Sunday, I've been writing his name down and a few stats about him that I can't remember to save my life. And his name has been appearing. I mean, it's a shame 76 in the second, you know, ripped open with a 64, fantastic start. But that 76 rather put his winning chances to bed. It didn't really, because he shot 67, 69 at the weekend and only finished one behind. But knock it round in 72, wins by three.
Do you think as well that players such as Otegi and one or two that haven't won before, that aren't right at the top of the European leaderboard week after week, would target an event like this? Because it's a good, strong European Tour field, but we've got to be honest here, it's not a BMW Championship type field.
No, you've got the chances, you know, in the likes of, you know, if you play in Morocco, if you play in Mauritius, if you play here, schedules are schedules, and the top players aren't going to put these tournaments in. Not belittling a tournament by any stretch of the imagination, but it doesn't fit into their schedule. So, you know, you are going to get surprise winners. It is a chance for the likes of what you say that have been up on the leaderboard, top five, top six, top ten. It's a great chance to pick the first prize. First prize, €166,000. You know, get yourself an exemption. It is a good opportunity.
Well, Englishman Richard McAvoy was third in Austria on 11 under, two shots behind Wu. And I'm very pleased to say that Richard joins us now on the Race to Dubai show. Congratulations, Richard, on third place finish. But you did have the lead during that final round. Were you starting to think about the victory?
Definitely in my mind, yes. Going into the back nine of a tournament on the last round has been quite a while for me to be competing up there and challenging for a title, and having not won before as well, it's always in the back of my mind that, you know, it's always obviously a dream and a target for me to achieve at some point. So yeah, I was thinking about it, yeah, and I did, you know, I'm not scared to say that I was nervous, obviously, but I felt as if I was dealing with the nerves quite well at the time, and Wu finished very well and just got away from me, unfortunately.
Seventh in Mauritius, Rich, that must have been a little bit of a help, because that's what you'd have to call that, being in contention.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I was kind of never around the lead to a certain degree. The two guys who were up there, they were always kind of away from the field a little bit. But it definitely gave me a lot of confidence for the rest of the year. And yeah, two top tens in my last two cuts made, which has been great. So yeah, I'm very pleased with my game at the moment.
You mentioned that you were controlling your nerves well, and that seemed to come through when everybody looks at your scorecard, because you only dropped one shot on Sunday. That was at the 18th. You didn't make bogey, I think, on the Saturday either. So it's not as if you did anything wrong, really, over the course of the weekend.
No, I didn't know. In fact, when I sat down afterwards, I hadn't dropped a shot for 45 holes until that last hole yesterday. So that's definitely a record for me, and a very good, big achievement around a golf course like that with a lot of water in play. It showed testament to the way my long game played all week, really. So I was very, very pleased, yeah.
Rich, up to 109th on the race to Dubai. Be nice, wouldn't it, this time? Kick on through, not have to go to that horrendous little holiday home we call the qualifying score.
Yeah, that would be nice. I've had quite a few trips back there. Yeah, this year I'm hoping that I won't have to. The years that I have kept my cards, I've always kind of done it towards the end of the year, and it would be quite nice not to have that pressure of doing that. So I'd like to obviously continue the form with some big weeks hopefully coming up with Germany, France and Scotland, some big money events coming up.
Were you in the BMW next
week? I would have got in anyway.
You would have got in anyway.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately it didn't make a massive difference to getting into the next tournament. But yeah, my form's in good shape. My game is kind of coming together a bit more now. My short game is a bit more tidier and feel more comfortable on the greens, which is good, which kind of let me down at the start of the year a little bit. So, I'm happy with the place I'm in at the moment, definitely with my game.
Well played on grabbing third spot in Austria. Hopefully, you'll make sure that you retain your card over the course of the summer. And we will watch with interest your progress over the course of the next few months. Richard, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show.
Thank you very much, boys. Cheers.
Well, England's James Morrison was fourth, ahead of South Africa's Xander Lombard, who led after round three but ended up finishing fifth on 9-under after a closing 74.
I was battling the elements out there and battling myself. I didn't give myself enough opportunities to score. I was scrambling a bit on the first nine and just never really got into a full birdie fest. You know, I just seemed to keep just hanging in there, making a soft drop here and there. So I'm very happy with the week. I mean, top 10 is never bad, and a lot of positives we can take out this week, and you know, it's all part of the game and part of the learning curve. Playing in the final group is what you dream of doing as a kid, you know, and it's just surreal being there. And in terms of learning from it, you know, it's my fifth try this season, so just need to keep knocking on the door and keep doing what I'm doing. It seems to be working, and yeah, hopefully the W is around the corner.
Boxy, it's the third time this season that Lombard has led a European Tour event after 54 holes. That was also in the Joburg Open and the Australian PGA Championship, both early this season. He's a young player, seemingly going places. No European Tour wins so far, but you get the sense one is around the corner.
You do. It's a little bit like, in my view, I was commentating when Brandon Stone won down in South Africa and Hayden Porteous. I think he's possibly a little bit like those two players, and he won't be long till he pops one under his belt.
Boxy, can we have the top 10 from the Lioness Open powered by Sport Hill for cashback card, please?
You can, but I have to tell you, there's a massive tie on 10th. There's 18 players in this top 10, if you know what I mean.
OK.
Tied 10th at 6-under par was Bernd Wiesberger, Van der Vault, Chris Paisley, Richard Lee, Chris Hansen, Robert Dinwiddie and Eduardo de la Riva, Nick Cullen and Magnus A. Carlsen. So there you go, that's tied 10th. Then you've got 6th, 7th, 8th and 9th at 8-under par was Gregory Bordy, Joost Louten, Gary Stahl and Chris Wood. And then in 5th was Xander Lombard, 4th was James Morrison, 3rd was Richard McAvoy, Ategi was 2nd, and the winner, 2nd win on the European Tour was Ashen Wu.
Quick word for Chris Wood, you mentioned him in dispatches there.
Yes.
12 out of 12 under par rounds at the Lioness Open. Now, obviously, the defending champion. He's having a good season, isn't he, Chris?
He is. I mean, if you can say one of my wins this year was the BMW PGA, that's not too bad, is it? All in all, you know, you'd have to say that's pretty good defence. Very good scoring. What was you said? 12 out of 12 rounds there under par?
Yeah.
Very good. Good weekend as well, 70-68.
Tips from last week, Boxy. Robert went for Sebastian Groh, who didn't play.
That's about his best choice for ages now, for Robert Lee. I think that's absolutely fantastic.
I think he was down to start and then realised that Robert tipped him up on the podcast.
And did a runner.
Decided not to start.
No, I'm not doing that.
And Jamie Spence, in much better form, he tipped up Joost Louten, who was sixth.
He was sixth, but, you know, he needed to finish in the top... Was it top three, you were saying, or top five?
Top three to get a US Open berth.
OK, now, he shot in the last round 72, so if you're going to shoot 72 on the last day, you're not really going to move up anywhere.
Fantasy race to Dubai next, and Haimo Siebenhofer won the most points last week. His team was captained by Lioness Open winner Ashin Wu, alongside Otegi, who finished runner-up. Martin Rotera maintains his lead at the top of the overall leaderboard, and keep an eye on the European Tour website this week for their Fantasy 3 to watch at the US Open, with extra points available for the year's second major. To pick your fantasy team, just go to europeantour.com/myEuropeanTour. Now let's see how the Race to Dubai standings are after the latest event on the European Tour. Boxy, we need the top 10.
OK, in 10th spot is, it's spelt out Rickard Karlberg, but I must tell you, having spoken to him in Sweden, I said, do you want Rickard or Richard? He said, I like Richard. I said, so do I. He's also a winner of the fifth major, Italian Open. Anyway, he's in 10th spot. Joost Luiten's 9th. 8th is Brandon Gracely. Westwood is 7th. Henrik Stenson is 6th. Chris Wood is 5th. 4th is Rafa Cabrera-Bello, who's having a brilliant season. 3rd, Louis Oosthuizen. Rory McIlroy is 2nd, but it's the Masters champion, Danny Willett, who leads the way at number 1.
In other news, Austrian Gordon Manson secured his second European Senior Tour title as he beat both Gary Wolstenholme and Ian Woosnam after 3 holes of a playoff at the Acorn Jersey Open. Woosnam narrowly missed a 4-foot putt for birdie on the second extra hole, which would have clinched the title. Meanwhile, Sweden's Simon Forsström carded a 7-under par 64 on the final day of the KPMG Trophy to climb the leaderboard and secure a maiden victory on the European Challenge Tour. In America, Daniel Berger secured his first PGA Tour victory with a 3-shot win at the St. Jude Classic. Americans Brooks Koepka, Steve Stricker and Phil Mickelson ended in a 3-way tie for second. Stricker and fellow Americans Brian Gay and Russell Henley, plus Korea Sung Yul No, earned their places at the Open next month at Royal Troon. Richard, we need the top 10 world rankings, please.
OK, in 10th spot is Justin Rose. Danny Willett is 9th. Adam Scott is 8th. 7th is Henrik Stenson. 6th is Dustin Johnson. Ricky Fowler is 5th. Bubba Watson, 4th. Rory McIlroy is 3rd. Jordan Spieth is 2nd. And Jason Day is still at the top, number 1.
In the women's game, Canada's Brooke Henderson claimed her first major win, beating world number 1 Lydia Ko in a playoff at the PGA Championship in Seattle. The 18-year-old rattled in 2 long putts in the final 2 holes to card a 6-under 65 to move level with Ko, who was on the brink of a 3rd consecutive major win. And then Henderson held her nerve to sink a 3-foot putt at the first extra hole. On to this week's action and the US Open at the Oakmont Country Club in Pennsylvania, this year's second major. Chris Wood won at Wentworth and was tied 6th in Austria last week, but that good form doesn't mean he's confident about taking on the Oakmont Country Club course.
I think it's going to be one of the toughest. I've only heard things that are just, you know, enough to sort of wake you up in the night, really. Just the brute of a golf course. I think 5 over par won last time, so if you're prepared for, you know, sort of 1 or 2 over being a good score, then, you know, you're ahead of the game a little bit, if that is the case. But US Opens are always tough. I've watched them over the years on telly. You know, level par is a great score. So sort of going there with that sort of attitude.
That's Chris Wood. How about India's Jeev Milka Singh, who tied 36th the last time that the US Open was played at Oakmont in 2007?
What I remember for sure is it was very tough. What I've heard, I think Phil Mickelson played out there 2-3 days ago, and the comment he made was it's one of the toughest golf courses ever played. So I'm sure it's tougher than when I played in 2007. But you know what? I love challenges, and I think it's going to be a test of patience, and it's going to be a marathon out there. So I think I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that was Jeev Milka Singh, who got his place in his 5th US Open after Tongjai Jaidi withdrew. Singh, incidentally, narrowly missed out on qualifying at Walton Heath. Well, I'm delighted to say that we're joined from the States by top US golf broadcaster Bob Bubka. Bob, we've just been hearing a couple of players talk about the course. What can you tell us about Oakmont? How brutal is it going to be set up this week?
Well, they don't really have to set it up brutal. That's the amazing thing. Just because of the severity of the greens, the number of bunkers, the length of the holes, this easily is the toughest golf course in the United States. And it provides an amazing venue for a U.S. Open. And a nice added touch this year, the United States Golf Association has chosen to honor both Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, they're going to be on hand prior to the start of the U.S. Open, and it's just going to add to the festivities.
Bob, I've been looking at scores from 2007, and you know our very own Nick Doherty finished tied seventh alongside Scott Verplank and Jerry Kelly in 2007. But the score they were on, which is, it seems a joke really, it was 10 over par.
It can play that tough. I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on the wind. Don't forget, 1973, Johnny Miller on Sunday shot a 63. When people talk about some of the greatest rounds in major history, always Johnny Miller's 63 gets a mention. You know, I mean, nobody's ever shot 62 in a major, so 63 being the lowest score ever shot, and to do it on Oakmont shows that it's gettable. You know, it really tests your mind. You're not going to go there and say, I'm just going to blow Oakmont away. The guy that lays back, takes his time, makes par, as you just alluded to, par is definitely going to be an awfully good score on any hole this week.
The thing about a course like that, Bob, you know, I mean, I haven't played that one, but I've played tough courses before, obviously, in my time, is that you're not physically tired when you come off, but you are massively mentally tired.
And that's where the fatigue factor really comes in at Oakmont. Physically, it's not that challenging. It is unique in the aspect that it has a major highway running right through the golf course, but you take a bridge over that. But when you get done, you're so exhausted, as you said, Richard, mentally. It just wears you out because you can't relax. There's no shot out there. There's no one hole out there where you just say, hey, this is an easy hole, so let's have some fun here. I mean, it's work, it's hard work, and you got to do it for 18 holes.
Is it the culmination of what you've just suggested about the course, the fact that it's a tough driving course, the fact that it's very treacherous greens, difficult to read in parts and very, very fast? Is there one key aspect that a player has got to do well to win at Oakmont, or is all your game got to be right on it?
I would say, you know, all your game has to be right, but the one ingredient that you have to have, and you're not going to survive at Oakmont if you don't have it, and that's the ability to drive the golf ball and keep it in the fairway, because there are so many bunkers out there. You're not going to you hit a fairway bunker at Oakmont, you don't generally have an opportunity to knock that shot on the green. So now you're going to be short of a green, and now you're going to try and chip to this green that's very treacherous and very fast. I did check the weather earlier this morning, and I saw the possibilities of some rain on both Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and that could take some of the bite out of Oakmont if we get that precipitation, but we'll have to wait and see on that.
Of course, the big three go to post this week, Messrs Day, Spieth and McIlroy. Give us your thoughts on each of the players, Bob. Jason Day, first of all, 7 wins in his last 17 tournaments. Is he the right favourite for you, and do you think he'll win this week?
Well, he's not my favourite, but he's certainly somebody that could win very easily. I mean, Jason Day has the temperament, he has the distance, he hits the ball high enough, so his approaches are going to be coming into these treacherous greens from very high, and they'll have a tendency to land a lot softer, and should get himself in good position. Pretty much on a par is Rory McIlroy, fresh off of his win in the Irish Open. He seems to be hitting the ball better. Plus, I'm really excited for Rory McIlroy and the fact that he's going back to the conventional putting style rather than the cross-handed, which he went to down in Doral earlier this year. That didn't work out at all. So he's certainly in fine form. And then Jordan Spieth, he is the defending champion. So you would have to say that he has a great chance. And I'd be a fool not to mention the name Danny Willett. He's the only guy eligible to win the Grand Slam this year by virtue of his victory at the Masters. But I think Dustin Johnson is finally going to get the job done.
You always feel, though, Bob, that Dustin Johnson has had so many chances in these major championships, not just the US Open, infamously, of course, at Pebble Beach, and even just the week gone, you sense his Saturday score, even though he came back brilliantly yesterday, is just typical of Dustin. Unfortunately, he puts in a bad nine here and there, and his chances can be scuppered late on when he seems to throw tournaments away.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. But, you know, the old saying, you keep knocking on that door, and sooner or later, somebody's going to open it for you. Certainly, any player that wins a major championship needs things to go his way. Maybe after all the bad breaks and bad play, I should say, more than bad breaks, Dustin Johnson three-putted the 72nd hole last year at Chambers Bay from 12 feet away. Two putts would have gotten him into an 18-hole playoff with Jordan Spieth. So the talent in Dustin Johnson is absolutely incredible, and he hits it a country mile. And I heard that his philosophy is going to be he's really going to take his chances this week. It's a big golf course. He's not going to be playing conservative. He's going to hit it as hard and as far as he can. And if it ends up in the right places, Dustin Johnson, I feel, will come out on top.
Well, here's another little one from me, Bob. What about he finished 11 over in 2007 and was applauded around the 18th green by other pros watching him finish out with a round of 66, Paul Casey.
That's an excellent pick, Richard. You know, Paul Casey's been showing flashes of brilliance. His life is stabilized now. A lot of things point towards Paul Casey. I mean, you know, he's due. I mean, we can't have, Lee Westwood never winning a major, Luke Donald never winning a major. I mean, world-class players, both number one at some points in their career. Paul Casey is another tremendous talent originating from the European Tour that has everything in his toolbox to get the job done. So pretty good pick by you, except he'll probably finish second to Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, he's probably right, yeah.
Just a word on the Europeans, Bob. We know that we've had a bit of a renaissance with Europeans winning the US Open over the last few years after a long drought. But at Oakmont, we don't tend to do as well. Obviously, there's not that many events that you can go back on. Monty perhaps should have won in the 90s. But we haven't had players pepper the leaderboard that much when it comes to this particular golf course, have we?
Well, it's not a golf course that a lot of people like initially. It almost requires more than one experience there. And it's so unique. That's the only thing I can and say about it. It's full of tremendous history. I was there when Arnold Palmer, can you imagine being from the state of Pennsylvania, Arnold Palmer playing in his last U.S. Open, coming up that 18th hole on the Friday afternoon. I mean, the roar from when he left the tee to when he left the green never subsided. It was just at a tremendous level. And the outpouring of affection for their hometown hero, as he was referred, was incredible. And that's part of the reason he's being brought back this year, along with Jack Nicklaus, just to add to the festivities. It's going to be a special, special week. Will a European player win? Possibly. Will somebody that we don't know come out of nowhere? I mean, Angel Cabrera, nobody had picked to win the last time he was played here, but he's a big, strong hitter, and that's what it's going to take. And, boy, you better have some patience, though, when you get on the greens, because they're extremely fast. There's a lot of undulation, and you have to know what you're doing.
Well, let's get the definitive picks, then. Who is going to be the hero this week? I'll allow you both one European and one non-European, so to speak. Bob, confirm your picks for us. Which American do you like and which European do you like?
Well, if Dustin Johnson doesn't win, I fancy the chances of Rory McIlroy. Even if he doesn't win, I feel will definitely be a factor here this week.
I like Jason Day purely because he's number one in the world and I don't like losing. And my other pick is going to be Paul Casey, as I mentioned earlier. I was going to go for Søren Kjeldsen, but I've had a little think and I'm going to go for Paul Casey. He's just made his way just inside the top 25 now, the world rankings, and he's played the course before. He's knocked it around his 66. So I will just say one thing, though. It is a course that if you've fortunately sneaked in through qualifying and not really played very well, my goodness, it will find you out this course. And then comes the 18, 19, 20, 21 over. and that might only be for two rounds.
Well, we've covered two of the big three, so I may as well cover the last one. Jordan Spieth, for me, back in the winner's enclosure at Colonial after throwing the Masters away, seemingly playing with a little smile on his face after getting down about his game, I felt, after that Masters defeat. But hopefully back in the winner's enclosure and a successful defence of his title. And for a European player, I'm going to go for Russell Knox, who won the WGC event, of course, in 2015 and has finished second in the RBC Heritage recently. He's a European, but he plays on the PGA Tour, so we'll know the conditions a little bit
better. Bob, I think he's gone for two Americans there, don't you?
Well, sort of.
But he's not playing by the rules.
Bob, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. We wish you well. Have a great week at Oakmont, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah, thank you very much. Looking forward to this US Open. I think it's going to be a very special one.
Bob Pupka there, en route to Oakmont for the second major of the season. And that wraps it up for today. Next week, we'll review the US Open and preview the BMW International Open as well. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat and Instagram. But for now, from Richard Boxall,
bye.
And myself, Dan Roebuck, it's goodbye. We'll see you next time.